For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This Saturday, you'll have a chance to go see The Karate Kid at the Tampa Theater, and then there will be a hour-long Q&A afterward that is going on with Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, and we're happy to welcome him to the show for the... for the first time. There you go. Ralph, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me.
It is great to have you on the show. I feel... And I'm sure you get this a lot. I feel like I know you.
Absolutely.
We've known you since you were a kid, and we've seen the movie so many times. I kind of feel like we know each other a little bit, which I'm sure you don't feel the same way.
Yeah, no, totally not. I have no idea who you are. Yeah. No, I'm joking. I get that occasionally. I think that character and some of the others that I've played, but certainly that one... It was the every kid next door, so I think he reminded us all of ourselves in some way, and I think that's why it's connected and resonated all these years. And I put myself out there for the most part when I do press and interviews and when I meet people in general that that's how I roll. I'm the neighbor, I'm the guy down the street, I'm the guy grabbing a beer with you, and then when you really need me for something like money, then I disappear.
Well, you know, the other thing is you've been famous for so long and you were a kid star, so you've never been in trouble. That's another good thing.
Yeah, I know. We're looking for that. We're looking. I keep searching. I made this video about 5 years ago with Funny or Die I created called the Wax On, F Off. And it's about me just trying to badass myself to gain more media relevance, and I failed miserably. It's really funny.
Well, you did let the monkeys out of the cage at the Playboy Mansion.
That's right, right. It was Pauly Shore all along. Actually, I think that initial script that was supposed to be C. Thomas Howell of Pony Boy fame,
sure.
The Outsiders, and he passed on it. And to this day, he says, "I can't believe I passed on that. What an ass!"
Oh, that was such a great. I mean, and that was the heyday of that show of Entourage too. That's like when the seasons were good.
Yeah, I agree. It's voted pretty up there in all their episodes, the Playboy Mansion episode.
When they
Not a bad day at the office.
When they come to you and they say, "Hey, we have an idea for a movie with you and the old Chinese guy from Happy Days," are you like, "Oh, this thing's gonna be great," or you're like, "Hey, man, we'll just do what we can"?
Yeah, I was more, well, let's put it this way. I was on board first
for
The Karate Kid. I was cast. Pretty early on, and I know they were always talking like Toshirô Mifune and some, you know, like Akira Kurosawa, Asian, authentic actor coming in, dramatic actor, and so Pat Morita came to the table, and nobody wanted that except the director. Not that I didn't. I was just like, "Oh, Arnold from Happy Days. This script is already a sugar cookie on paper. This is going to be like, you know, a TV movie at best." And hence why I don't run a studio. because it was everything and anything you could possibly imagine for him, meaning Pat Morita, and the role of a lifetime, and obviously an Oscar nomination for him only was the cherry on top. So he was just, you know, it was just all meant to be. That movie that resonates now, 32 years later, where they'll screen it in a big theater in Tampa, and people will come out and know all the lines and cheer at the end and hopefully applaud me a little bit, and I'll give them some stories behind the scenes stuff. That's 32 years ago. It's pretty amazing. Things happen for a certain reason, and that movie just was blessed in that way.
This is a good trend that that stars are doing and movies are doing, where when you have a movie, not just a movie that did well in the box office or in critical acclaim, but a movie that like you said, resonates with people, where you get to go and watch the movie. I've done this with Mel Brooks. I got to watch Blazing Saddles and hear him talk about it. I know that Richard Dreyfuss has been doing it with Jaws. I think it's a great opportunity, and this movie is a classic. I mean, it's something that we in this generation grew up with, and I mean, to the point where they've had. What do you think of the remake?
Well, the remake, I thought, you know, one thing it has done in history is over the past couple of years has shown it, it only enhanced the relevance of the original film and enhanced the legacy of that. So that's the good part. I think that they did a very good job in 2010 of, you know, attacking this sort of video game era, because I think some of the fighting in that movie felt like it was, you know, it was video game fighting.
Right.
Like nobody got hurt. There was no blood, but they were just...
Yeah.
They just kept going and going and pounding each other. I think it's a testament you could tell the same exact story but make a totally different movie. And I think that you know, outside of the fact that it had no karate in it because it was in China,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of people, the purists, are pissed off about. But that's just marketing. They're not going to trade off the title. I mean, that's the show business part of it all, to call it Karate Kid, even though it was in China and there's no such thing as karate. But I will say, you know, there's a soulful magic is how I describe what's in the original Karate Kid film, and certainly the relationship of Mr. Miyagi and Daniel LaRusso that it just has stood the test of time and embraced through the generations. And I, you know, I don't think anyone's really remembering the dialogue from the remake, where the original people, I mean, it's part of the American lexicon, some of the...
Oh,
absolutely.
And then there's the 80s pop culture of it all, where you get to sort of, it's tongue-in-cheek laugh at it. But whoever thought, you know, get him a body bag would be like... in the dictionary now, or, you know, or wax on, wax off. I mean, who
I have to tell you, you're forgetting the geographical teachings. I never heard of Okinawa before the movie. I can tell you China here, Japan here, Okinawa here. I mean, I know where it is now.
That's it. Now you know where it is. It's sort of somewhere in the middle. But, listen, it's that side of it as well, you know, and beyond the that great scene with Pat Morita when he's drunk and talking about his wife and his child and the internment camps back in World War II. I mean, it gave some information, so it wasn't just an 80s pop movie. You know, it was the first mainstream movie that dealt with that stuff and that part of the history, the Japanese-American history.
Yeah.
On top of it, not to get too deep, it's still The Karate Kid. It's a summer popcorn movie, but it has those elements. And then the single parent raising a kid, teenager, fish out of water, you know, it was very relatable stuff.
And, you mean the part where he was drunk and he sang, oh, nai, okay, oh, no. I've seen the movie way too many times, buddy.
You've seen it? No, that's good. I think you should write the next sequel down the line, and you could play sort of the new Miyagi.
We're talking to Ralph Macchio. Ralph will be here on Saturday at the Tampa Theater. You'll have an opportunity to watch The Karate Kid, and then I'll be sitting down and talking to Ralph for an hour, and you'll have to ask him questions.
It's funny because you talk about Ralph Macchio and talk about Karate Kid being a classic, but then you have My Cousin Vinny, you have The Outsiders, and my favorite that I've seen more than any other Ralph Macchio movie is Crossroads.
Yeah.
Because
you must be a musician. You must be a musician.
Yes, I am. But I remember seeing the review on Siskel and Ebert, and they showed you and a big old white boy by the name of Jack Butler cutting heads down in hell, and I went, oh my God, I got to see this movie. I've seen that movie at least 100 times.
That's a good listen. That duel, that guitar duel at the end is a great gunfight, man.
Oh, yeah. Eugene's bag of tricks.
Eugene's bag of tricks. I mean, I know I run into more guitar guys, purists, that'll send me their tapes of them mastering Eugene's bag of tricks.
You know what's so funny is I was backstage at a concert, and Mark Tremonti, who played with Creed and plays with Alter Bridge, he was warming up and he was playing that. And I said to him, I go, Eugene's bag of tricks. And he goes, yeah, Crossroads, great.
That's funny.
It's unbelievable. It's kind of fun to see that. The studio, Columbia, that was Columbia Pictures as well, same as The Karate Kid. I just wish they did a great Blu-ray sort of like extra. We never shot extras, but just to do a great version of that film. I just don't think they understand the relevance in the musician world and the cult following it has.
Yeah.
It's a great looking movie too. Cinematography and Walter Hill, you know, who directed 48 Hours among many other big movies at that time. Was the director of that film. Yeah, that's very cool for bringing that up. Yeah, and My Cousin Vinny, that's just one that gets funnier every time.
I mean, that's a classic where every time you watch it, no matter what point it's on, you could sit there and watch
Absolutely,
it for a little while longer.
Yeah, and you're always late for dinner because you're saying, okay, one more scene.
Yeah.
The stuttering public defender comes out and you just piss your pants. You got to, you know, I did get to grace a couple of them that still stand the test, and that's someone said that to me the other day, talking about, you know, I guess right after the Oscars, you know, who remembers 2 years later the Best Picture, you know, and the films you remember, the ones that stand the test of time when you go back to them decades later, not necessarily the ones that win the awards at the current moment.
Was it tough for you because, well, you did three Karate Kid movies. Do you get typecast at all?
Two that I talk about.
do you after that though? You have a hard time because I mean you made some great movies, but they were kind of spaced out a little bit. Is it because of the Karate Kid, or were you afforded the time to say, hey, I'm going to chill out for a little while?
Well, no, it wasn't totally by design. I mean, I certainly had the pigeonhole thing going on at that point. And I still carry that. I mean, it's part of. I mean, it's going to. You know, it's something I'll have always, and it did make things more difficult, as did my quasi-youthful appearance. You know, it's like, okay, when is this guy going to age?
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about the other day, you're like Benjamin Button.
Yeah, I know. Next time we see, by the time I'm down there Saturday, I will be a toddler. I think that it, you know, there were a couple of films that I wanted to do that I was not able to, just based on the being tied into the option for the Karate Kid films, which once the first one took off, they locked up pretty quick. So it would have been nice to have a little bit more diversity in that initial onslaught of how that came out of the gate. But other than that, it was. You know, when I look back at it now, and I got to be there for, you know, the birth of both my kids and be around when they were younger in the early 90s, mid-90s, I wouldn't have traded that for anything. But at the time, I was frustrated that I didn't have the next big one, even though I kept working throughout. And now I'm working more than, you know, the last 5 years or so, everything sort of picked back up, and I'm busy with a lot of things in front of the camera, behind the camera, and so, you know, things happen for a reason, like I said, so that's the way I look at it. But
are you rich?
Am I rich?
Like a Karate Kid make you rich?
I'm comfortable. I am comfortable. If I sold some stuff, I'd be rich.
Okay.
But, I'm comfortable.
Fair enough. That's a good answer. That's what I want to hear. Like I don't want to be like, hey, the Karate Kid, in a couple of years, you had to go work down at the convenience store for the weekend. I want to know that you're good.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
Were there any movies that you passed on or were kind of involved with that you didn't wind up being in that went and became huge hits or anything?
Well, the myth is that I passed on Back to the Future.
I can see you. I could totally see you in that.
Yeah, that is not the truth. I met with Spielberg and Zemeckis. This is when right before Eric Stoltz was cast.
Right.
He shot like 11 or 15 days. And then Michael J. Fox came in and made the Marty McFly that we know. But I remember meeting with Spielberg and Zemeckis, talking about the film. Karate Kid had just broken at that time, so I was definitely on that list. And there were discussions, and there was talk of a screen test, and that sort of fell away. There was little option stuff with the Karate Kid Part 2, when that was going to shoot, could we have done it? And then the screen test never happened. You know, I think my agents were playing hardball.
Right.
On top of that, they were concerned. They really wanted this. It's so funny, it was played by a Canadian, but they really wanted an all-American apple pie face. So I didn't necessarily bring that into the room.
Yeah, you brought it. You got that New York Italian thing going on.
The East Coast ethnic thing, yeah. So at the end of the day, like I said, the right guy played the role, just like I was the right guy for my big hit role. And but the one that got away that I would have loved to have done that I could have, and it was not a big hit as much as it was a great role, and it was a movie that Sidney Lumet directed called Running on Empty, and River Phoenix played the role and was nominated for an Oscar. And that's the one that I think if I did things differently and I played it right, I might have had a shot at that role.
Right.
Phenomenal director. But once again, I go back to the same thing. You know, maybe I wouldn't have gotten the accolades or the Oscar nomination, and River Phoenix might have just been that guy at that time.
So well, at this point in your career, you're due for Quentin Tarantino to put you in a movie and then have a whole resurgence again.
I've spoken to him about it. what for Travolta can't you do for me?
This is
he was real cool about that. That would be fun to find that that role that just breaks it. But you know, I just keep, you know, you just keep the ball up in the air. You keep pushing the boulder up the side of the mountain and try not to get crushed. You know,
I gotta tell you, it's a shame Pat Morita's dead, because I would have loved to have seen you made a movie now.
Oh yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Daniel-san, get all of a sudden something's going on. But
yeah, there's been a lot of talk. The person who needs to sign off on that would be Robert Kamen, who wrote the screenplay. But it's you know, listen, with when you look at Creed this last year and bringing back, you know, Rocky Balboa from a total different angle, you know, it's always open, but without Pat here, I think that changes the game, I think. But people do love those characters. They love, you know, they ask me, I get asked that, and we'll get asked that Saturday, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would be the present day? What's he doing now? What would you like to see? So I'll try to come up with something creative to say.
This is Ralph Macchio. Ralph will be here on Saturday at the Tampa Theater. They'll be showing The Karate Kid. You'll have an opportunity to go see it and then have him come out and do a Q&A, and that I'll be hosting and sitting there asking the same questions over, like I didn't know the answer to him already.
Right, yeah, sure.
I have confidence you're going to come up with at least three that I've never heard before. I'll let you know after it's done if you did.
Oh, trust me.
So the pressure's on.
I'm good. I had to come up with questions for Charlie Sheen that nobody asked him before, and we were able to pull that off, so we'll be okay.
That is a feat.
Couple of rumors. You own the car from The Karate Kid?
Yes, I do.
Still have it?
Yes, I do. I have the 47 Ford convertible.
Wow.
Venerable wax on, wax off car. Yes, it is. It is in need of some repair right now. It became the white elephant after like 20 years. Like,
right.
What am I going to do with this? It was all a great idea in 1980, whatever it was. It's cool to have. We actually are talking about, there's a charity company that's a company is going to get it back into
shape,
get it back up and running, and. And I'm gonna do some personal appearance with it, and then raise money for prostate cancer and stuff like that. So I thought that was a good tie-in. People are gonna love to see it, as I would. I have it. It's in, you know. It's
yeah.
In a
how did, was it a gift from the studio, or did you buy it, or how
yeah,
do you get it?
Was. It was. It was a gift from the studio. Don Steele was the executive then. I had lunch with her, and I said, I threw it out there. I said, boy, I would like to have this car. I said, I wonder if I could buy it, fully hoping that they'd, you know.
Right, here
it
is.
Yeah.
The day the Karate Kid 3 opened, there was a flatbed outside my house with the car on it.
Wow.
I said, okay, now what the hell am I going to do with this? It barely ran. You know, it runs great in the movie, but there's like 10 guys under the hood and chipmunks, and it all looks good on the outside, you know.
What is the theory behind what crazy magic Mr. Miyagi has, where he could slap his hands together, rub your little teenage body parts, and all of a sudden put you back together? It's so creepy.
Yeah, I know. That's the. I mean, you definitely could get into some creepy zone. I think they made some videos like the Brokeback Kid, where they cut like scenes with Morita and myself, and just make it as real
as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very easy to do. It just takes a little creative mind
I mean, the whole thing, the mother is just completely irresponsible. I mean, I came from we used to call my mother for years. My brother and I would call my mother Mrs. LaRusso because she was so loud and Italian. But the thing is, I mean, my mother would never let me go off with some crazy Asian janitor to go cut trees and wax on and wax each other off.
Right, exactly. I know it is a little. You get forgiven. It's the power of suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone, you know, it's the exactly. And even when he heads over in the sequel, she's like, "Well, we're gonna go here. Okay, bye, Ma." It's like,
yeah.
Go to Asia. With this whole time.
The janitor will take care
night?
Of you.
Don't worry about it, Ma. I come home constantly with different bruises on my face.
By the way, there's no way that Sato wouldn't have killed Mr. Miyagi either.
Sato would have taken him out in 2 seconds.
Yeah, Sato was badass.
Been done.
And then your son, you name your son Daniel?
Yes, we did. I was one of those things. We went back and forth. I've always liked the name Daniel. The character was named Danny Weber in the original script of The Karate Kid.
Oh.
We're knocking off all the information. We're going to have nothing to talk about.
No. We'll be good.
I'm joking. So it was called Danny Weber, and I... So they named him LaRusso. As soon as they gave me the part, there were vowels added.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, let's call it. I always liked the name Daniel. I said, why don't we call him Daniel instead of Danny? And then the Daniel-san came, was part of that. And then, when it was time to name my son, my wife and I, I thought it was a nice homage. And it's also a classic name, unlike Ralph, which sort of goes in and out of style, if not totally out of style. Unless you become Rafe. And that's the other
thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Rafe Fiennes is the coolest name ever. Ralph, it's not so much.
I'm looking at your wedding picture right now, and it is amazing that that woman would marry that little boy.
Yeah.
I know that. It looks like a bar mitzvah. It's crazy. God, the internet is so unforgiving. It's just, there's no way out.
Not for you. You're in great shape. I mean, like every picture of you, you look good. You look young. You should be happy about that. This is Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, listen.
You've had a Ralph. I got to tell you, and I'm 44 years old now, so there may be some. Yeah, I'm sure you guys in the room to my left here probably haven't seen it, but The Outsiders was
fantastic.
It was a great book and a fantastic movie, and what a great performance by Ralph. But at that time, I mean, God, look at all those Swayze, Tom Cruise, yeah. Emilio Estevez. I mean, every famous. I saw a picture of you and Rob Lowe recently ran into each other at Sirius. That was Sirius. Great to see together.
Yeah, I see. No, it was great. It was great. He actually just he was just tweeting with S.E. Hinton, who wrote that novel last night.
Yeah.
I saw it on Twitter because they were talking about the crew jackets that we got made up. And it's kind of the Outsiders. I mean, when you look, I see Matt Dillon occasionally because he's a New Yorker, and there's a kindred spirit with those guys. You know, it's just something. You know, we were all starting out. We knew we were in the coolest movie with one of the greatest directors in the history of American cinema, in Francis Ford Coppola, and it was special. That role to me, when they asked which is the one, that was the one. It's like your first love.
Sure.
Role, you never forget it. And it was. I read that book when I was 12, and I talk about it. All the time. I think most of the guys all go occasionally to middle schools and talk to kids. They love it. That's another good one that plays on the big screen well. Time.
I mean, what a great story and a great group of guys that you'll never see assembled in a movie like that together. And yeah, how old were you when you did that?
I was 19. Look, but I played. You know, you got to do the Macchio curve and subtract 5.
Yeah.
So I looked like I was 13 or whatever.
But to be working with Coppola, in the heyday, that must have been fantastic.
It was awesome. It was awesome. It was, I was very, very serious about it, maybe too serious about it. I would, because I'd so much want to do everything perfectly. I think Rob, I don't know if it was Rob or C. Thomas House, someone got me like a t-shirt that said, do not disturb, because I always had that on my door, studying my lines. Like, let's go out. It was crazy. It was the sixth floor of the Tulsa Excelsior Hotel. That place will never be the same. All that testosterone and Diane Lane.
Yeah, yeah.
and her dad who protected her from all us animals.
That was the thing. I'd be sitting there with a shotgun on you guys.
Oh, man, please.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 25.
Wow, you went in young, buddy.
Yeah, it went in young. It's for sure. And it's 29 years married this past Tuesday. Crazy.
Good for you. Congratulations. And then were you able at least to get it all, get a bunch of other broads knocked out before you got married?
Yeah, I had some fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Not as much as you would wish.
Yeah.
not as much as all my friends had hoped. They all want to hear the story.
Yeah, of course you do. Well, we'll find out. There's going to be a lot of stories on Saturday. The Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio live Saturday, 7:30, Tampa Theater. You can go to tampatheater.org and get tickets. I will be out there.
Yeah, let's get tickets, man. Come on down, because it's a fun experience. I did it. I've never done it in this case, but I have done it at a film festival where they did a sort of 30th anniversary thing, and that's when this made such sense to me, because the audience, it's like they're watching the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know, they're yelling the lines out and they cheer at the end, and it takes you back, and it's so nice to watch in a full theater experience. And Tampa Theater looks absolutely gorgeous.
It's a beautiful place. It really is, and it's a place that'll still show movies. Yeah, it'll be good, and Ralph Macchio will be there. Are you annoyed when people do the crane kick to you, or do you realize what that means in pop culture today?
I think I realize what it means in pop culture. I will tell them, because they'll ask me to do it, that I don't do it. Mainly because I would probably be doing it. I'd probably slip a disc or be doing it for the rest of my life. The only time I tell you that is when I'm on the military bases with the troops. If they have a bunch of Navy SEALs say, let's do the crane, then I say yes.
Yeah, you have no choice.
Otherwise, Otherwise, it's not that I have no choice. I just think if I'm gonna go there, it's gonna be with the people who serve our country.
Sure. So don't ask him to do the.
That's right. That shuts everybody up pretty quick.
You know how many people have done it naked and how many people have stood in front of a mirror and done that pose. I mean, everybody.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah. The single worst karate move ever, by the way.
It is. It does not work.
No.
I don't care what they say, and they'll show you all these fights that it works. When I sort of knew it, I mean, I remember when I seen the movie for the first time, and Jerry Weintraub, our producer who passed away this year, we came outside the theater after a sneak preview, and everybody was doing the crane kick, like, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30, everyone's trying it, like, kids and parents and grandparents, and they're all... And he just said, "We're going to be making a couple of these." He knew it at that moment.
Uh-huh. And you know why? And another great movie, if done correctly, No Can Defend. But however, in the second one, I love the way you tried to go again, and they said, "No, Can Defend."
Yeah,
we got this. You're in Okinawa now.
Pat. Yeah. Listen, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm very much looking forward to being out there on Saturday, and everybody else who wants to go, you can go see it. TampaTheater.org. Ralph Macchio, The Karate Kid. How many times did you, like, you won't see the movie? Like, how many times have you watched this movie?
I've watched, it's hard to count, but I hadn't seen it in a long while, like, outside of, you know, on the, you know, cable when I'm walking through the house and they click on. I keep it on for a few seconds till I annoy myself, then I move on. But, I did see it at this 30th anniversary thing they did in Los Angeles, and that's when I first saw the audience, this many years later,
react.
Resonate for them to a point. Yeah, it was like being at a, they just love it. And you get the, you know, everybody gets the chills and they're hugging each other and high-fiving at the end. And they're really moved by it. It's not just it's a feel-good, fun movie, but it's, I've had more than I could tell you people come up to me that were going through a tough time or were bullied kids and or had a sibling who had a tough time or an illness, and this is the movie that got them through, and that's pretty wonderful stuff.
If you had to guess what line has been repeated most on this show from that movie, would you have any idea?
I wouldn't. I would say it's not wax on, wax off.
It's
would say it could be sweep the leg.
No,
get him a body bag is way up there.
All too obvious. All too obvious. You ready for this?
What is it? Take a worm for a walk week?
No,
that's a weird one, isn't it?
No. Anytime there's something going wrong on this show and it looks like something's not going to happen, and then all of a sudden,
I know what it is.
Do it.
What's Danny LaRusso is going to fight? Danny LaRusso is going to fight. Isn't that what it's all about, folks?
That's right. That's so funny. I remember I was at a little league thing. My son, he's running around first base, like 8 years old or whatever, and he trips and falls. And the coach on the opposing team, you just hear him go, "Down goes LaRusso." I said, my poor kid is going to have to carry this. But anyway, my son's at Boston College. He's at Boston College, and if they beat Quinnipiac tonight in the NCAA hockey, they will be playing Saturday night right down the street, right?
Yeah, right at the Ice Palace. That's where the Frozen Four is happening right now.
I may be calling your radio station to get him tickets if they win tonight. But we'll see from there.
I got you covered.
I'll be at the Tampa Theater as I should be.
Well, look, I'm looking forward to seeing you out there again. If you want tickets, TampaTheater.org. Ralph Macchio, Karate Kid, this Saturday night. Great talking to you, my man. I will see you on Saturday.
Great, Mike. I look forward to seeing you, and thanks for doing it. It'll be fun, man.
All right, pal. See you then. There you go. Ralph Macchio, The Karate Kid.
Steve and Julie Weintraub here for the Golden Diamond Source. If you're thinking about getting engaged, Golden Diamond Source is your one-stop destination.
Shop, compare, and save at the Golden Diamond Source.
3800 Ulmerton Road.
Or online at goldendiamondsource.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.